Oscar Wilde wrote that life is far too important a thing ever to talk seriously about, whilst Ludwig Wittgenstein observed that if people never did silly things, then nothing intelligent would ever get done. On this episode of the History of Advertising podcast, we are prepared to get very silly indeed, as we look at some of the campaigns that have cut through the noise by embracing their sheer sense of fun. First up, we have some rapping farmers.
The sun is up, sun is up, sun is up. The milk is chilled. It's gonna be a good one. Yo, yo.
Yo, I'm rolling in my Massey on a summer's day. Chugging cold milk while I'm baling hay. Yo, Valley's approach is common sense. Harmony in nature takes precedence. My ride's my pride, that's why you never see it dirty. And I love it here, man, that's why I'm never leaving early. I'm looking good in my cap and my shirt. I'm representing for the West so hard it hurts.
Yeah, we make this look easy, cause we're proper modern with this farming, believe me. Wind turbines are shining, baby. In solar farming, no buts, no maybes. And yeah, we're down with the Soil Association. And we do lots of what? Conservation, sustain, maintain, it ain't a thing. We set the bar, real leaders by far.
Yo, Valley, yo, Valley.
We change the game, it will never be the same.
Yo, Valley, yo, Valley.
In 2010, Yo Valley, a Somerset organic family farm, was put on the map by an ad featuring actors dressed up as farmers, rapping lyrical about the many wonders of Yo Valley products. The ad was shot like a music video and directed by Director X, someone who'd previously directed videos for the likes of Drake, David Guetta, and Rihanna. The ad was produced by the agency BBH. Here, one of the creatives, Rosie Arnold, describes how hard she had to fight to get the ad made in the first place.
I had to really kick against BBH to get it made. It was a pitch that we won on that because Tim Mead, who runs Yo Valley, came in and he said, you know, I'm an organic farm and I want people to know that, you know, we are organic, we are a real place. I want to be popular for everybody, so I'm keeping my prices down. I want mass market appeal. I don't want everyone to think organic is just the sort of upper market people. I want people to not pronounce the name correctly. It's Yo. And so we had this idea about the sort of rapping farmers, and they loved it and they bought it, and we had no time and no money to make it. But Nick Gill, who was the ECD at the time, absolutely hated the script and really pressurized me to pull it. And not make it and come up with something else. And I was like, well, I can't. That's what we run the business on. And I think it's the right thing to do. And it may be naff, but I think it ticks the boxes, you know. And it became this massive internal battle. And we made it and it was a big success. And I'm really glad I stuck to it. It still makes me nervous remembering that kind of interim time between having made the ad and it going out. And it was also the first ad that I'd made when there was a real internet presence, so you could see how people were responding immediately. And we'd rather underestimated the fact that there needed to be somebody from Yo Valley responding to all the comments it was getting. So, you know, this was a new thing that suddenly everybody on YouTube is watching it and they're saying things, and there needed to be a spokesperson from Yo to say thank you and you can do this. And in fact, it was my poor account woman who was there all night having to respond to everything because we hadn't really thought that through. So I think now they have somebody that handles all of that.
The ad was a huge success, gaining such popularity that fans successfully lobbied for the song to be available to download on iTunes. There was even a campaign to get the Yo Valley rap to be that year's Christmas number one. In 2011, there was a follow-up Yo Valley ad/song named The Churned Forever, which took the form of an overly earnest boy band ballad where the dashing farmers serenaded their cows.
Oh, I could have gone astray, not listened to my heart, but every time I'm tempted, I go back to the start.
But that's quite enough of that. Here, Rosie explains how a big part of the campaign's success was down to a very savvy media spend.
we looked really carefully about where destination TV was. So at that time, we chose X Factor, you know, when it first comes in, and we knew that was a big TV audience. And very clever, Kevin Brand, such a clever media thinker. We had a very small budget, and Kevin went to, I think, ITV and said, we will put our entire media budget only into ITV if you give us the whole first spot coming into X Factor. So we do one big blast of the ad, and then we put it on YouTube, and then we did three cut downs, tiny little, you know, 20 second cut downs, and then one long ad. So that's all we did. So that literally ran five times on there for their very limited budget, and it got millions and millions of views, and people were driven to it and had so much publicity. And so I go, well, that's a case in point about how, if you're intelligent, you don't actually have to try and touch everybody in these little TikTok and this and that. Just think smart about where you're going to put your budget, and then maybe we could have some advertising that people really loved.
Another gloriously silly ad campaign that people really love is Haribo's Kids Voices. The idea behind it is devastatingly simple. We see adults sharing packs of Haribo while speaking using the voices of children. Take, for example, this one, where we see a group of very formally dressed adults enter a boardroom. However, when they open their mouths, they sound like this.
I just want to talk about this Haribo Star Mix Sweeties.
I like the hearts because they make me feel loved.
And also I like the rings.
And the gold bears.
Because it looks like it's a ring when they go swimming so they don't drown.
And then look, you can make a big, big sandwich.
Or this one, where we see a group of burly rugby men sharing a pack of Haribo during a scrum.
Haribo comes out to anyone.
What does it taste like?
Like fire and a little bit of electricity.
Okay, my one tasted of craziness and all of, like, the things in the world, and it tastes amazing.
I like this fizzy one the best.
You got a fantastic face.
No, I haven't.
The words we hear the adults speak come from real children, sharing their actual thoughts about the sweets. Quiet Storm is the agency behind the campaign. Here, founder Trevor Robinson, OBE, talks about why it's a unique ad to film.
It's a weird one to do because you can't start with a script. You kind of have a kind of ballpark scenario that the client buys, and then you just have to, you know, sit in a studio with these kids, feeding them Haribo and just letting them talk and letting them joke amongst themselves. And then you write the script after there. So it's quite a weird one for clients because they, you know, everybody likes to sign off an idea and sign off a route. And that one, and like, but what you do get is a real authenticity from the kids and the real kind of, you kind of know that's really a kid's imagination there and the real, and like their love of the product is not a contrived ad man's love of the product, it's their genuine love of the product.
The campaign has run for years, with a recent iteration seeing the introduction of an Instagram augmented reality lens, which allows adult users to hear what they'd sound like as children. Kids Voices has been one of the most successful campaigns for Haribo to date, and the idea has been rolled out in multiple foreign markets.
Bonjour, mon frutilicious.
Möchte jemand von meinem Haribo Colorado haben?
Rozmawiajmy mi dzisiaj o złotych miszach Haribo.
To pierwszy się rzuci na wielki.
Te żółte to mam jadł I jadł.
Let's talk about Haribo Gold Bears.
Aloha.
And it's gone. It's gone all through the world. In Germany, we worked with Japan, you know, in Japan the other day, and we had, you know, these massive sumo wrestlers talking like little kids. It was hilarious. It's like, and really incredibly, I can't explain it, fast Japanese advertising. It is so weird seeing your idea, but interpreted through the eyes of Japanese people. It's really funny. In the States is creepy, actually, when you sit with the kids, because American kids are so much more grown up than anywhere else. They're really that precocious, hey, buddy, you know, and they talk like adults. It's really creepy. And you kind of go, wow, that is so odd. And it's fascinating doing it around all the way, because you really do get the essence of people's cultures, you know, and like some of them are, you know, surprising. Some of them are kind of actually more like a stereotype. Do you know what I mean? You go, wow, that is true. You guys really don't have a sense of humor. So it's kind of like, it's very odd when because you get that pure, unadulterated thing from kids, you know.
So if the ads from this episode have shown anything, it's that if you want to stand out in the crowd, you need to embrace your silly side. The History of Advertising podcast was presented by Jack Meggett Phillips and featured contributions from Rosie Arnold and Trevor Robinson, OBE. The programme was produced by Jane Jarvis and Jack Meggett Phillips. To explore the History of Advertising Trust's online catalogue and the work that they do, please visit hatads.org.uk.